Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host for today, Rich Hudson, joined by Ash.
Hello.
Millman, must remember the surname, and Josh Brown.
Hello.
So Scott isn't here today. Last night, he and Jules were in between Stupid O'Clock and Stupid O'Clock
yes.
to cover two of the biggest E3 conferences that wasn't EA. Xbox and Microsoft Xbox and Bethesda. Had their conferences at E3 yesterday night for Xbox, and then this morning for Bethesda, so bless them. They're probably both still in bed.
I was in bed when Bethesda was on. I watched that before.
I stayed up for it because I'm a loser.
Gosh, you did.
Hence why you've got me hosting the podcast today. So we are going to run down everything that was announced at the Xbox conference and also the Bethesda conference and get a few opinions in and see what we think about X, Y, and Z. So kicking things off. I did not mean that, but okay. I like how you both did that. You see all the people in the crowd going,
yes.
standing up and holding their arms together like, yeah, Xbox. Okay, sure. So Xbox kicking things off by saying, we've got 60 games we're showing off today, which is, they said, the biggest amount this year, basically, because Sony aren't there.
Yes, but okay. it was technically true. I'm not sure if it was technically impressive, though. There was a lot of games. I don't know how many of them I actually cared
for. Yeah, exactly. You know? But I'll give them that. And then they said 34 games are available on Game Pass as well, which we will get to in a bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to run these down. I've got them all in alphabetical order because I'm nice and organized. Some of these things we're probably just going to breeze over. So we've got things like Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition in 4K. It's like, sure, whatever. Yeah. Battletoads had its first gameplay reveal.
Good.
I didn't play Battletoads, so I'm not really sure on that.
I'm excited for Battletoads. I think it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Nice little treat that is. A little sprinkle to the past. Like, I'm excited about
it. It was quite exciting when they announced it. I think it was last year they revealed they were doing a new Battletoads. So we've got the gameplay. I think, did they give us a release date? I should have written this
great
down.
Great question. I don't know. I think it was 2020, but I'm not
It might have been
sure
2020. I'm not entirely sure. But that seems to be an Xbox exclusive, I think.
Yes.
Next one, Blair Witch, which is Josh's favourite game of 20 whatever.
I honestly popped so much when this happened. The trailer came on and it was really intriguing. I was like, is it Silent Hill? I was like, it can't be Silent Hill. Is it Outlast 3? It might be Outlast 3. No, it's Blair Witch and it looks damn good.
I mean, as soon as it kicked off, I thought, okay, it's a guy in the dark with a torch. It's Alan Wake.
Mm.
And then he pulls out a camera. It's Outlast. And then it was like, oh, it's Blair Witch.
Well, when I saw some of like the effigies and some of the iconography, I thought, this could be Blair Witch. Mm. I thought, that would be ridiculous. Why would they make a Blair Witch game? And then started doing the time loop, and I was thinking, this could be Blair Witch. I don't know why they're doing it, but I am really, really looking forward to it. Of all the games that were announced, of the 60 games that were announced, this might be my third favourite of the entire conference.
I mean, I did think there's some big stuff coming out. Where's this going to rank?
Yeah. I tried the big smile the whole time. I'm like, oh, just seeing the effigy at the end and pulling out. It's like, oh, ooh. It looks so similar to the second Blair Witch movie they did in 2016, like literally just Blair Witch.
Severely underrated, in my opinion.
Severely, severely underrated. Even by its filmmakers, underrated by them as well. But yeah, it reminds me of that. And if they capture that energy, that horrible, terrible, terrifying found footage energy in a game, then it will be like the best like horror game
ever. So
do you
think this will be a sort of a game adaptation of the original story, or maybe could be considered Blair Witch 3?
Oh, I think it's someone just going into like Black Hills and the whole forest and Bucketsville and all that sort of thing. I've got all the names very mangled there. I think it's someone just going in there with his dog, isn't it? So I think it's someone exploring the forest and then probably the legends of Blair Witch playing into it. I imagine it's going to be someone that may be a bit clueless going in. Like,
was he going to find something?
Maybe. That would.
I recall him saying, oh, well, let's go and find this, or dog, go and find that.
Yeah, that is the plot of the sort of remake slash sequel, so it could be going down that route, which would be cool.
Yeah.
As long as they keep... The Blair Witch better leave that dog alone, is all I'm saying. I think it was called Bullet. It looked lovely. Don't do anything bad to it.
Don't do anything to dogs. Can you pet the dog in Blair Witch?
I hope so.
I'm betting you can. He's your companion. You'll have to be able to.
What if he's just only for sniffing and that's it, though?
Oh, that
only a hunting dog.
0 out of 10. Josh is completely uninvested
now. He was up here and now it's down there.
Oh, what a shame. Next up is also one of Josh's favourite people, Ninja Theory.
Yes!
They revealed their game Bleeding Edge that we did. I don't know whether you saw the leak just before the conference.
Annoyingly, I did. It was after I put my last minute rumours up, Rich. Yeah, I was really disappointed by that.
So Bleeding Edge appears to be a 4v4 combat sort of multiplayer competitive thing. And it's like, after looking at what they did with Hellblade, you think, oh, this really incredible studio creating AAA-looking games at a very, very indie sort of standpoint. Now they're doing a hero-based co-op, competitive multiplayer thing. It's sort of like, how late to the party does this look? Because that's what I thought when I looked at it. It's like, these guys seem to be very, very good, and they're making not an Overwatch clone, not a Lawbreakers clone, not a whatever clone. It's just another multiplayer co-op game thing.
I was a little bit disappointed with that, I'm not going to lie. Ninja Theory, after Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, I thought they could have really innovated in sort of that space between AAA and indie. Like, although I guess technically Hellblade was an indie, it didn't look or really feel like one. It had the production values of a AAA game, like you said, Rich. And I wanted them to sort of go down that route more, but I suppose they're just experimenting with a lot of things. Hellblade was an experiment. This is going to be an experiment. Like, I think they're sort of just trying to find what they want to do, and now they have Microsoft support. I think it's quite cool that they get to do this while they're sort of trying to find what their studio is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. I think part of me saw it and thought this was Microsoft pulling like an EA that they did with BioWare and said, okay, now you're going to make this, even though maybe you'd be better suited to make as a, like, basically like a Hellblade 2 or a Hellblade style thing as an exclusive for the Xbox. This is their first game under Xbox Game Studios. Maybe this could have been their sort of, I don't know, their like Santa Monica Studios sort of equivalent for Microsoft, but instead they're doing a multiplayer co-op clone thing.
It's what I'm not sure, you might be able to shed more light on this. It's one of those projects that I'm not entirely sure on. I don't know whether this started production before they were bought by Microsoft and they're just sort of finishing it and then they're going to make an exclusive afterwards. It's sort of like how Obsidian were deep in production on the Outer Worlds and then they got bought and then they're releasing that multi-platform and then we'll get what their next big exclusive is going to be afterwards. I'm not entirely sure.
I had no idea, actually, where that stands.
I think it's a slight shot in the foot for Microsoft not having them do, like, a proper tight RPG like Hellblade. It's a proper, like,
I mean, depending on how this gets received, I've got a feeling people are going to just be like, yeah, whatever. It's going to be another Battleborn. It's going to be another Lawbreakers. And it's like, ah, whatever. Like, they've kind of missed the mark on this. Because, I mean, even just generally, like, hero-based multiplayer competitive stuff is starting to die out anyway. You've got the mainstays, like, you've got Overwatch, and you've got Siege, because that could almost be considered hero shooter, as it were. Like, they've got those, and now you've got, like, the Battle Royale games. They've got their staples now. There's no point in trying to add to it, especially not this late on.
That's it. I think it's been quite divisive online from what I've seen, and I do think Ninja Theory can do whatever the hell they want. I want them to embrace experimentation.
If they're stretching their wings, then absolutely I'm for it. But like I said, I'm concerned it's Microsoft saying, go and do this. Yes, we need one of these.
I fully agree. I think it's a bit late to come into this sort of subgenre now.
Yeah.
But who knows?
We'll find out. Okay, next up is Borderlands 3. Which has got more gameplay stuff, which we all know about anyway. And then there was the Borderlands 2 DLC that's been rumoured and leaked for ages now. That was confirmed, which is coming out. Was it like now?
Now it's out now, I think. Yeah. I'm almost certain.
It's free. That ties Borderlands 2 and 3 together, and they've just released the Handsome Collection on PS4.
They are so pushing the Handsome Collection everywhere.
They've released it on a Game Pass as well. That got announced as well. So yeah, they're setting up Borderlands 3 very, very well. It's just a shame that What's-His-Face at the top can't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah. Randy Richards.
Yeah, he's an interesting fella, that one. Crossfire X is a game I've never heard of, even though it's a PC game. It's coming to console for the first time ever on the Xbox One.
Yes, this was treated so strangely because Phil Spencer was talking about it. Like, maybe it's just because it's out of my sphere of knowledge or interest, but I had no idea what this was, but it was treated like the biggest thing of all time.
Yeah, it was like, this is incredibly big, and here it is now on Xbox, and it's like, it's Crossfire X, and everyone just went,
who? What?
Even the people in the crowd were like,
I've never heard of this. And apparently it's a PC game, so I've no idea what this is.
Rich, you should know. As the resident PC gamer here.
But I don't know what it is.
No.
So that's coming to Xbox, because of course it is.
Good.
I think the biggest takeaway from the Xbox conference, Cyberpunk 2077.
boy.
Oh my goodness. So we had a brand new sort of narrative and not a gameplay trailer, but had a lot of combat in it, which was very cool. You know, the big spiky arm things that we saw in the initial trailer, like the first ever trailer of that woman sat in the street.
Yeah.
He pulls those out, starts slashing guys. Like, oh, this is wicked. He gets powered down. He gets strangled. And it's like, oh, here's the title. Oh, no, wait, it's rebooting. You look up. And who is it? It's Keanu Reeves.
Flippin' Reeves, brother.
John Wick is in the game.
And then John Wick was on the stage.
Oh,
Keanu Reeves came out and went, Cyberpunk, for some reason. And it was the best thing of all time.
He is breathtaking. He's unbelievable. I love him.
So it's just a thing like, oh, you know, they've got like Mads Mikkelsen and XYZ in Death Stranding. It's like, we've got Keanu Reeves, man.
Yep.
And then he comes out and goes, hey, you want a release date? Here it is. And it's coming out next year. It's April 16th.
Yeah.
I don't believe
2020.
That.
2020.
You don't believe it?
Nope.
Really?
What?
They're going to delay it?
I think it's going to be delayed.
That's fine.
No, yes. It's not going to be delayed. It's not.
Is it not?
It's not. It's not. Though CG Projekt Red have made such a thing about the whole time about being like, it's going to be ready when it's ready. We aren't going to pull you around. We aren't going to be yanking your chains. We're not going to tell you anything until it is ready to come out. So for them to give a release date and for it to be a reasonable amount of time away, I think they've got their crap together.
I was thinking, yeah, it's okay. I mean, as you said, if it gets delayed, then I'm okay with that because we know that they're the kind of people to go, we'll delay and make sure it's right. They do what Valve used to do when they made games. but if they've got, like, what is it, like 9, 10 months to go until the game releases, I would say the game is finished. Yeah. They're just going to do 10 months of polishing it to a mirror shine.
I hope so.
It's going to be perfect when it releases. I'm not saying it would be perfect. It's going to be a lot better than we would expect from other AAA studio, obviously not CD Projekt Red specifically, but like the general consensus of, this is how bad games are when they launch, they're going to make sure it's perfect.
Yeah.
But we're getting Cyberpunk.
It looked like the trailer that they showed off was so beautiful. All the way through the early part of Microsoft's conference, when I was seeing games like this be debuted, I was looking at sort of like the graphics and like the facial tech that was on show for this game especially. And I was thinking, is this next gen footage we're seeing? Mm. It was never confirmed, but now we know that the next gen is coming next year. Mm. So I'm thinking, was that sort of up-rezzed for potential Xbox Scarlet or PlayStation 5 release?
We'll get to that, but I think because of when it's launching, because it's only going to be, X number of months before the next gen kicks in, which I said we will get to, maybe this could be a game that releases here and also on the next gen systems. But then again, depending on how it goes with all the backwards compatibility, they might not need to.
That's true. That is very true. Which it might just...
They'll probably give you a download to up-rezz everything to make it more Xbox Scarlet PS5, like, looking.
Yeah.
But maybe they won't have to release it again.
That's quite a good point, actually, because, I mean, even now, the Xbox One X, when you play older games on it, it up-rezzes it and it unlocks the
implementation is already there.
Yeah.
So it would make sense to do that.
I would like that more.
I say any more on Cyberpunk?
No, it's just really exciting. It just looks really good. I'm proper like, it's going to be amazing. It just looks really good. That's all I keep saying because I know. It's the trailer looks fantastic. Keanu Reeves confirmed. There's little blades. There's shooting. There's people with all these strange enhancements on their faces. It looks like I just want to live there. I want to live there now.
Yeah.
Like,
you can get the special edition because that's been revealed as well.
Yes.
It looks very cool. I'm just looking forward to having, obviously, my first-person shooter. I love me a first-person shooter, but also just to pull out my big old scythe, like, arms and start slashing at people. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous.
It's like Dead Space stuff, isn't it?
It's going to be so much fun.
Warms my heart.
Next up, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. Kakarot.
Yes.
But I've written it down wrong. Kakarot.
I'm a lapsed Dragon Ball Z fan. I'm sure Jules and Scott
were quite excited when that came out. Yeah. I don't know Dragon Ball whatsoever. So
look good. I'm hyped for it. It looked like an authentic recreation of the show. And I'm excited for it to be an RPG. It's different. It's not stepping on Dragon Ball FighterZ's toes. It's something else.
But also, it's taking the same graphical cues from Dragon Ball FighterZ, because Dragon Ball FighterZ is absolutely stunning. So the fact they're going to take that and use that in a different genre, then that must be very good for the Dragon Ball crew. Dying Light 2 was another one we saw again, which we know is coming out. I think it just says 2020. I don't think it says
Spring 2020, I want to say.
Okay,
yeah.
So we've got that coming. I mean, Dying Light's good. It's got all the branching narratives. It just gave us another trailer, really. It didn't really tell us much. It was just more just a reminder of, this game is coming, by the way, and then just moved on.
I feel like I'm very negative on this podcast today, but this is what I'm a bit worried about with Dying Light 2 is that Dying Light 1, I ate all of my words there. It's one of my favorite games of the generation. I think it's so underrated. I think the combat, in mechanically speaking, it's so sound. The narrative was poor. Mm. So to see them doubling down on the narrative here either should instill me with hope in that they finally fixed it or fear, because that was not the best part of the original game.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Might like lose out due to the narrative being
potentially. I hope not. But I mean, the branching pathway idea looks cool. for me, I'm kind of sick of branching pathways a little bit because I want to just see everything in a game, okay? And I'll never go back. I know Dying Light 2, no matter how good it is, I'm probably not going to go back through and look at the other pathways and explore those. I'll watch them on YouTube instead, which is a shame and it's sad, but it's just what video games are today, I think.
I agree, but I love consequence being a part of video games and you being able to go around and have all these things be your personal experience of a game and have all the branching pathways that you have chosen. And yes, I also do the watch on YouTube afterwards because you want to see everything.
It would be nice if they gave us a means of going back to a particular narrative, like... sort of fork in the road and go from there rather than go, oh, by the way, you have to start it all again and do it all again. Like, that would be a good way of being able to give people the whole story and not having them play the game once and then forget about it. So,
it did look quite good, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued. I'm not, like, super excited. I played Dying Light 1 and it is good. But, like, I'm not like, oh, my God, I need this so much in my life. Next up is something that we've had rumoured.
Whoa!
Did you guys hear that?
We've got people driving around in loud cars.
Oh my God.
That's Fast and Furious
that's
outside.
That's literally like, lines up quite nicely with that one.
It's actually for the next one, but Elden Ring.
Yes.
Hidetaka Miyazaki and George R.R. Martin. We've had this rumoured and leaked a lot, and yes, it was confirmed last night at the Xbox conference.
That's also exciting.
Not really much to show, to say. It was just here's a trailer. It's coming from Hidetaka Miyazaki and George R.R. Martin. It's called Elden Ring. It's made by From Software. See it at some point.
Yeah. Sold. I'm done. Yeah,
that's all I need.
All people need. They just need his name. The two names from Software.
Yeah. Go
literally. Take that. Shove it in your Elden Ring. I think
it's a testament to how good of an idea this is. That even though we knew George R. R. Martin was a collaborator for months now, that when his name popped up, still felt it.
They did that little pause in there, and then it came. I was like,
that little pause.
It was like
10 minutes of just Hidetaka Miyazaki, and it was like,
who
George
R.
R. Martin. But I mean, that's fantastic. There are a lot of people getting very excited for that. I mean, another From Software game is always a good time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
As for whether it's an Xbox exclusive, we'll have to wait and see. I don't think they showed off a publisher.
I don't think it's going to be an exclusive.
No. I mean, I think the reason why the rumors were it was going to be exclusive is because it was going to be shown at the Xbox stage, but that's only because there isn't a Sony one this year. But it could be Activision, could be Bandai Namco. We'll wait and see. Definitely. It could be. I mean, if it is Xbox, then I'd be very surprised.
It would be a big get.
That would be one hell of a thing. I mean, you know, PlayStation 4 got Bloodborne.
Where's Bloodborne 2, Rich? That was a long time ago.
The other thing. Yeah, I mean, Xbox may have Elden Ring. We'll wait and see, but we'll find out more about that, I'm guessing, next year.
I think
that's all we're going to hear for a good year.
Yeah, for a long time now. Yeah. I would buy an Xbox for Elden Ring alone, I think.
That's a bit, to be honest. I am not a big fan of From Software games, but that would make me play and commit to it. Like,
that's the thing. Like, I'm looking at it thinking, this just could be really good, but I've got Dark Souls, Bloodborne, and Sekiro, and I'm just like, I'm getting back into Dark Souls very slowly, but like the other guys are just like, I just can't play this.
Well, that's a good point, actually, because I suppose I'm the biggest From Software fan on this table. I've loved every single game they put out, and I'm so pleased that a few years ago, I just wanted them to make Dark Souls over and over again, or Bloodborne over and over again, but now I love that they're spreading their wings out. Does this still excite you in the same way?
I was very excited for Sekiro.
Right.
With how they went about it differently with introducing people to how the game world worked. We're not going to make Ash talk about Sekiro. But like, depending on how it goes, when they show us gameplay, when they show us more of the game, if they see this is where it's going to land. Because obviously when Miyazaki does a From Software game, it sits on a spectrum between Souls, Bloodborne, and now Sekiro. So it's intriguing as to where that's going to sit. If it swings more towards like Bloodborne, Sekiro of like, a very, very kinetic and very, very sort of welcoming, but like it eases you into it a bit better, then that would be more on my spectrum. If it turned around and went, it's basically Dark Souls 4, I'd be like, well, that's me out.
For me, I would hope that they would maybe make it a bit more of a sliding scale of difficulty, which I know is not a From Software thing that they do, but because this has such a big pull and because it's George R. R. Martin's name in it, I think they might try and make it a bit more mainstream and accessible.
By the sounds of it, it's going to be sort of like an open world RPG, so we might be looking at something more like that. Yeah, exactly. It could be way more open.
With all the conversation that was brought up by Sekiro and the accessibility difficulty, we did do a podcast on this. I highly recommend listening to it because it is very good. That could be something they've taken inspiration from, or will swing Elden Ring in that direction, which would be great. I mean, I would love that, to be able to pick up a From Software game and actually play it and not feel like I'm just going to be dicked on if I haven't already played Demon's Souls and Dark Souls 1, 2, 3, Bloodborne, and Sekiro.
Yeah.
So it would be really good if that were the case. Mm. Next up, a very weird one, which was rumored as well, Forza Horizon 4 getting a Lego expansion. Totally down. It looks stupid.
Everything is awesome, guys. I don't even play Forza Horizon, but I'm going to play it now.
I haven't played Forza Horizon 4, but I've heard it's fantastic, so I'm going to have to pick that up.
I'd play Lego.
I'm totally down for Lego.
I want that big Lego car that they brought out, because I love it every single year. Microsoft bring out a big flashy car, and this time it was made of Lego.
I love the fact they didn't reveal that until after the trailer. It was like, oh, here's a car, and let's keep it in shadow. Yeah. And it was like, I remember watching Scott and Jules' stream yesterday, and when they actually did the shot after they showed the trailer, and they brought the camera from behind the car, Scott was like, oh my god, it's Lego! I love that. It's so silly. It's just good fun. Yeah. I find that really good. I think that's why people have been like, yeah, okay, I'm down for this. It's not like completely stupid. Next up is Gears 5.
Right,
which we got absolutely nothing of.
Big intake of breath.
Both of us just, oh wow. Yeah. That was a weird one. Consider it's out, we got a release date. It's coming out September, I think
September
it was.
September 10th.
Right, September 10th. I'm surprised that we didn't see any more story or even like proper gameplay. We got a lot of cinematics. We got a lot of promises about things we'll see down the line. But we got that cool Billie Eilish trailer, which I did love. But that's just sort of a tone piece and not reflective of what we're actually getting.
It's interesting because the first trailer we had for Gears 5 showed you the main woman in it and sort of the other guy. It was going to have that sort of father-son mentality we've seen in like Last of Us and God of War. Yeah. That seems to be where it was going. And this trailer was just her and lots of like shadows of faces and things, and that was kind of it. And it was like, oh,
yeah,
sure. Even that new mode, Escape, had just a cinematic for it, which looks cool, but everyone was like, where's the gameplay? We've had the initial reveal, which told us a lot, and now you're telling us nothing. It's like they got the trailers the wrong way around.
I agree, especially so close to launch. It doesn't sort of instill confidence. What they said instilled confidence. And I really do love the character of Kate. I like that she's getting focused on in this game because JD was kind of fine, but not really as a main protagonist. I just wanted Marcus back. And I think Escape looks all right, but the way they were talking about, Horde mode's back. Mm. Horde mode was back in 2008, okay?
Yeah.
I need something more than that to get me excited for Gears 5, even though I will buy it on launch and will really enjoy it.
I just feel like Gears and Halo to me just feel stretched. Like, they feel stretched. Like, I feel like I've seen what they have to offer. Like, I don't know. I hope that they put it out of the bag when it comes out and they've got like a bit more oomph behind them that makes people care a bit
more. It kind of looks like they're trying to just play up on the whole, it's Gears, it's Halo. We know you're going to get it.
Yeah.
We're just going to show you what we can show you and you'll still buy it. It's like, no, people still want to see this in action. Like,
well,
that's the thing.
We briefly mentioned this in the news this morning, Ash, but like the way Sony have treated their franchises like that could have died out a long time ago. God of War, I never used to care about God of War. I used to think it was shallow and not very good and didn't really like that style. The way they sort of rebooted that and brought it into sort of like the modern age, we're yet to see Microsoft do that with one of their big franchises. Yeah. They are hinting that Gears 5 and Halo Infinite will be these monumental steps in monumental sort of, I don't know, sort of soft reboots essentially of these big franchises, and yet I have not seen enough to prove that.
It's just it just feels like another sequel. I feel like God of War was an entry point for a new audience, whereas with Halo, with Halo and Gears of War, it's very much a continuation of the old stuff. Like, it keeps on going and going and going, whereas I think if they actually just go, right, okay, everyone can jump in here, it's not like Gears of War 5, it's Gears of War this, I think that would be preferable. But you know what? I'm talking out my butt, because we don't know until we get there, and it could be amazing.
We could have a new trailer before it comes out. I mean, I'm guessing the Microsoft are going to push like 4,000 different trailers for Gears 5 come September, come late August.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. Gears Pop for iOS and Android? No. let's move on.
That's not for me, Jim.
We will talk about Halo, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. All 9 films in Lego. I was very excited for that, I'm not going to lie.
This was a roller coaster ride for me, Rich, because it came up and I thought, oh, Lego Star Wars. And then by the end of the trailer, I was going, yes, Lego Star Wars, give me it all.
I'd heard rumors about there being The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker being made into Lego games, because I'm not going to lie, I got Lego Force Awakens on launch and I loved it to bits. It's a Lego Star Wars game. They're great fun. But the fact they're doing the last two films and they're putting all 9 into one game,
It's good stuff.
I played the hell out of Star Wars, Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga on the PS2, so it's like, I'm looking forward to having all of them again.
Me too. I think it looks lush. My only issue is that I wish it was coming sooner. I wish it was coming out for like the final movie, because I would be on a Star Wars hype and I would be playing everything, but at least I've got Fallen Order to satiate.
Which we will get to. I was gutted that they didn't do Last Jedi Lego straight away.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Because I really liked Force Awakens on Lego Force Awakens. Next up, we've got the Microsoft Flight Simulator is getting a new game, which I know is very, very niche, especially for you guys, but I know that it's got a huge following, and it did look very, very nice. It's coming to PC, and it's coming to Xbox.
Well,
it's tickling various fans' pickles.
Do you like this? Do you like Flight Simulator?
No, I've not played
this. This seems like your sort of nerd.
It is very much my kind. I was watching, trying to think, yeah, I can play this.
Yeah,
I can play this. No, I don't play Flight Sim.
I turned to my girlfriend last night when we were watching it, and I went, Rich would love this. So to find out you don't, Rich, is very disappointing.
I've not played it. I mean, I'll give it a bash. I'll absolutely give it a bash. I need a new PC, man.
I honestly
give it
thought
a bash.
You and Ozzy would be popping to each other about it all the time.
It's one of those things, like, that I was watching the trailer thinking, yeah, I could get behind flying around looking at stuff. Like, yeah, this is my kind of thing. It's probably an absolute bitch to control, mind you.
Absolutely.
My word. We've got Minecraft Dungeons, which is their Diablo clone, because of course.
I'm excited for that. I like.
Everyone's
doing
Diablo clones.
I like Minecraft.
Minecraft is great.
Little dungeon crawling.
Awesome. And the fact they're doing another game within that that universe. I mean, the only other thing they've done outside of just Minecraft itself was the Minecraft story mode with Telltale, which I don't really think people cared about.
I think it was good, but it didn't sell well.
No, it's Telltale, isn't it? It's still a point and click kind of style thing. It's still quite niche, even now. Even though they've had the massive success with The Walking Dead, it's still not great. Hence why Telltale.
Yes.
But yeah, it looks kind of cool. I'm not really one for dungeon crawlers. I've not really played them, so it doesn't really bother me. But I know, as a Minecraft fan, not on the level of some Minecraft fans, getting anything new Minecraft-wise, even completely new, is exciting for anyone. So that's quite cool to see.
Half the fun of Minecraft is going to find the little like underground caves and mining them and getting all the ore and everything. So having just a pure dungeon crawl
a refined experience in Minecraft just must be
it's
amazing.
Like, I don't have to dig the hole. I'm just in there.
I'm already there. Yeah. So it's fine.
Next up is Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Well, this is a big Rage game, isn't it?
This is Rage's thing.
I feel like we're under-equipped to talk about this.
We've got a release date for that for 11th of Feb next year.
Delicious.
Which has got people very excited. It's a Metroidvania, isn't it? It's considered a Metroidvania-style kind of thing. It looks beautiful. It's going to be great. You're going to hear a lot more from Rage than that come next February.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Next up, we have got the Phantasy Star Online 2, which was a big online RPG helmed by Sega, which I'm guessing you guys probably haven't heard of. I only just about know about it.
No.
It's been in the East for a long time. It's like the biggest RPG in the Asian market, and they're releasing it in the West, only in North America, only on the Xbox One. So RPG fans, JRPG fans, JMMORPG fans are very excited for this, but then there are still people tweeting, like UK journalists, just like, so where's our launch? Because it's literally just North America and Xbox One, unless I'm mistaken.
Well, this is an interesting thing, because although I don't know anything about the game itself, I'm not going to talk about the game itself, but I think it is indicative of how Microsoft have sort of changed their partnerships recently. They have tried to broaden their horizons and bring a lot of these games that you wouldn't usually associate with the Xbox brand to the Xbox, and the fact that they're on this stage welcoming Sega back, for instance, for like the first time in a long time, in making these partnerships happen and getting them only on Xbox, even though it means nothing to a player like me, it will mean something to a lot of other people who may not have been interested in the brand before now.
It's Microsoft kind of realizing that the Asian market of games, stuff that we would normally expect to only release over there and releasing over here, they realize that they can tap into this. Like things like Yakuza releasing over here, because that was apparently like originally only in the East. There was something else I was going to say as well, like Persona games and stuff like that. All this really, really heavy like JRPG stuff. It's got an audience over here, and they know that. So bringing Phantasy Star Online 2, apparently that's a really big deal for the JRPG fans. You'll have to let us know like where that stands for you if you are a fan of these things. But just seeing the reaction it had, it's like, this is apparently a very good thing.
Yeah.
Next up is a reveal that Xbox Game Studios have another studio under them, which is now Double Fine.
Yes.
And they showed off a new trailer for Psychonauts 2, which looks to now be being published by Xbox Game Studios, if I'm not mistaken, but it opened with Xbox Game Studios Presents and then showed the trailer.
Yes, you mentioned this, Rich. What does this mean? Does that mean it's an exclusive now?
This could mean it's an exclusive. I don't know whether Psychonauts had already been specified as an exclusive for Xbox or not. I don't think it had, or it might not have actually said where it's releasing. We just know it was coming at some point. So maybe that was already in the bag, and it was only now they revealed that Psychonauts 2 was coming to the Xbox. But that's not entirely sure yet. I don't know whether we got a release date for that. I think we might have done.
I actually don't think we did, but
I don't think we did
knows?
Either.
No.
I'm drawing blanks.
Yeah, but anyway, like, so Double Fine now under Xbox Game Studios with what's his name?
Tim Schafer.
Tim Schafer, that's it. He came out and was just lovely.
Had some nice banter,
fella.
He did. So yeah, we got Psychonauts 2 coming. RPG Time, The Legend of Wright was that very strange looking notebook style game.
Yeah.
That trailer told me nothing. I'd know what it was.
No, nor I. It looked fun though.
It's an experience. That's all it is.
Okay, sure. Sea of Thieves is getting a new expansion.
Woohoo!
Did this happen in the conference?
Lovely.
Apparently. I think, did it?
Great.
I must have... I missed this.
Xbox said they announced something about Sea of Thieves. Obviously, it was that minute and no one really cared that we can't remember seeing it. Spiritfarer is the 2D side-scrolling sort of build your boat kind of thing we saw. It was quite early on in the conference. So I'm not really sure about that, to be honest. It's one of those things where I think when the game comes out, people play and realize, oh, it's got this really good message to it, then more people might be invested. Kind of like a Celeste, kind of like a Gris style thing. We'll wait and see what happens on that. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh,
this
here he
looks
is.
So good.
Oh, my goodness. Did you watch EA's? Just that first half an hour. So thankful they just put it there, because I didn't watch any other chuff. Jedi Fallen Order looks incredible.
It looks ace. I think it looks like a lot of people saying a natural sort of progression of the old Jedi Knight games and Jedi Academy games, and I think it looks delicious. Like, the storytelling looks really good. I think the worlds look really nice. I think the combat looks weighty, and I'm going to say it, Dark Souls-esque.
Genuinely, when we, because it was actually Rach and I were actually watching the EA one together, so we saw the Jedi Fallen Order stuff at the same time, and it's like, this looks like Uncharted meets Sekiro.
Yes.
In terms of its, like, in terms of like a lot of the jumping and climbing on walls and vines swinging and stuff like that, and then the combat looking really, really quite very precise, very grounded. Yeah. As somebody that I see, like I said, not really into Sekiro as much, having it in this capacity, knowing it's not going to be like Sekiro.
It's with lightsabers, so it's much better.
This is going to be fantastic.
I agree. I mean, like you said, the Uncharted comparison is so there when you jumped on the vine and then you come down for like the swinging lightsaber attack.
That climbing all over walls.
Like Uncharted 4 when you do the exact same thing but you come down with a punch. I'm here for that. I think they've been trying to make an Uncharted Star Wars game for so long and so many have been cancelled.
It was like the exact right time within the canon to do it as well.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. I think it annoys me about Fallen Order is the fact that you look at it and think, EA are like, yeah, we're doing this now. And it's like, but you should have realized this before you canned Visceral Games and that game. Like, why?
Yeah.
It's coming to here.
We're getting out. I can't dispute that. It's looking really good. We're still getting pre-order cosmetics.
Of course. I mean, yeah.
Who wants an orange lightsaber, guys?
Me. I actually do.
Me.
I actually really want
Goodness
an orange
sake,
lightsaber.
Josh, you are the problem.
I know I am. I'm
you
so
are
sorry.
The problem.
But Rich, it's an orange lightsaber.
So you're looking forward to Star Wars Jedi?
I actually am, yeah. I think it's going to be good. I think there's so many Star Wars games that actually absolutely knock it out the park that I'm quite excited to see another one.
I think if anyone's going to be able to do it, it's Respawn.
Yeah. I mean, they have not let me down yet. Even when I thought they were going to let me down with Apex Legends, they did
and
not
this,
let me down.
This is their first game that's not an FPS. So this is a new kettle of fish for them, but it looks to be they're taking inspiration from Uncharted, from Sekiro. They're looking in all the right places to make this game something really quite special.
And lest we forget, the story mode for Titanfall 2 is low-key one of the best first-person shooter campaigns of the generation, so I believe they can do a single-player very well.
So yeah, I think Jedi Fallen Order is coming out in November. So that's gonna be very, very good. Next up, State of Decay 2, Heartland expansion. I've not played it.
A game I've always wanted to get around to playing and then just never have. It looked exciting from what I can gather. This is sort of the story mode that should have been there at launch, but I cannot comment on it too much as I haven't played it.
Yeah. Tales of Arise is another one from Bandai Namco, which just looks very... It's very, very Japanese, I think. I've no idea what's going on. It's not my kind of thing. At first, I thought it was a Ni No Kuni remaster, because we've heard musings of a Ni No Kuni remaster. Yeah, sorry.
The musings.
Doing the wiggly fingers here. I thought that was what that was, but no, it was another, I'm thinking it's an action RPG. I'm going to take a random guess and say it is.
Yes.
Next up is Outer Worlds, which Xbox actually opened with.
Which was cool. Which was a strong way to open.
Yep, which is Obsidian's new RPG, first-person shooter. It's the creators of Fallout New Vegas and the original creators of Fallout. So basically ex-Interplay people teaming up and doing this. We heard about this last year. And it looks good.
Bit cheeky them opening with it when it's not their exclusive. To be like, look at all this stuff that's coming on the Xbox.
I had a feeling they would have closed with Halo, which they did, but I didn't expect them to open with a game that wasn't actually exclusive. Yeah. I thought, like, because they opened saying, hey, we're going to do loads of exclusives. Here's one that's not.
Yeah.
I know.
It looks good, though.
It does look good. It looks really good.
It does. It's a good way to associate Obsidian with their brand. Like, I'm sure this is going to be an excellent RPG. Obviously, there are the fans sort of, I don't know, the fans behind it are like so vocal and so passionate about this game that even if it is an exclusive, Obsidian are now owned by Microsoft, so they can easily go, look how good this game looks, look how good their future games might look for our Xbox.
This is their last game before they become a purely Xbox studio, at least as far as we know. See, we need to see how Microsoft is going to go about going to other platforms, because they have said they're going to experiment with it. 12 Minutes was the one by Annapurna Interactive.
Yes.
Are they the people who did What Remains of Edith Finch?
They published it. I don't think so, but maybe.
I think they were. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
But that seems to be a Groundhog Day, very gritty. It's an interactive thriller, I think they called it. Yeah. And it was like top down and playing through the events of the same 12 minutes, I guess, over and over again. Didn't tell us much.
No.
But it looked very cool. Looked very gritty, like very hard hitting at times.
Yeah. It did this really cool thing that really engrossed me at the time. It's because it started obviously top down from quite far away. Then the entire trailer was sort of one shot and it just kept pulling you into this room. And I thought, that is so good. And I'm so
stressed.
Invested. I am stressed.
Starting with a frame that small and zooming all the way in reminds me of the opening of Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Ah.
Just to taint it. Wasteland 3. Is another, I think that's also original creators of Fallout, I want to say. Or it's very much inspired by the OG Fallout. We knew Wasteland 3 was coming. At first, it looked like Rage 2. It was like, hey, here's all this snow and ice, and then here's all the neon. It's like, oh, great, here we go. Ooh. And it turned out to be Wasteland 3. I mean, I think Jules is very into the Wasteland games. And when he saw that trailer, he was like, oh, that was Wasteland.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I'm not entirely familiar with them, but I know enough about the first two, the second one especially. And when that was announced, I was kind of surprised that it was Wasteland, if that makes sense. But
I think people are concerned about a potential tonal shift.
It's like, the other ones are all in deserts, aren't they? And it's proper, Mad Max-y sort of vibe for them to go into, take this long to come back to it and do it all in the snow is a very interesting
Because what I've seen of Wasteland 3 up to this point, it all looked to be in the same sort of narrative and sort of thematic vein as the first two, which is more gritty. And then this is like, oh, we've got this drunk guy, and there's neon and people wearing masks and stuff. And it's like, oh, great, okay.
Testing the waters.
Yeah, it looks interesting. And finally, Way to the Woods, which was the Dio with the glowing...
it was pretty.
Antlers.
Yeah.
It looked very pretty.
Really,
I mean, I'm
pretty.
Intrigued as to like how that. Whether I'm assuming it's a game with a really, really good message behind it, because it screams, I've got a message to tell. I've got a story to tell you. I want to make you feel this.
Yeah.
And it just looks really, really cool. Basically.
Listen, Microsoft. If one of those deer dies, I am not buying an Xbox Scarlett. If one of them dies, That's me and you done. That's don't me kill and you
the
deer.
Don't kill the dog in Blair Witch.
Oh, I'm going to come for
you. Oh, no.
So quickly looping back round, Halo Infinite, we had a big old trailer with Chief floating in space, yeah. Like it's the beginning of Avengers End. Avengers End. And we have found out that Halo Infinite is going to be a launch title for the Xbox mm-hmm. Scarlet.
Exciting.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, in a way. Right.
Because I don't think the Xbox One launched with a Halo game, did it? It didn't launch with Guardians.
Ooh, no, it didn't. No, it was a few.
And I think if they launched with a Halo game when the Xbox after the whole kerfuffle of the Xbox One launch, they might have been a bit more stable. But I think they've realized we need to launch this with an Xbox with a Halo game because obviously the original Xbox launched with Combat Evolved and Halo 3 launched with the 360. Or did it? No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. It was a few years afterwards.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, shut up, Rich. But yeah, I think it's good that they're going to do another Halo game to open a whole new generation of consoles.
Mm.
And I'm personally excited to actually play through all the Halo games properly on PC.
Of course, yeah, they also announced that.
Bringing that out. We'll talk about that in a sec. But Xbox Scarlet has been confirmed for holiday 2020.
Exciting!
Ninth gen is coming.
Yeah. It's happening. It's exciting. It's what lines up with all the rumors. I was quite surprised at how close the Xbox Scarlet Scarlet looks against the PlayStation 5. They are both very similar consoles.
Yeah, they're
focusing
both
on similar things.
Both working with AMD, which is a big deal on the internals. Yeah. I do have some bits and pieces down here. It's a Zen 2 and Radeon RDNA from AMD. So they're, I know this means nothing to you.
Absolutely.
Too. Basically,
boggling.
All of them.
You're
their,
the nodding sagely
does
like,
that
yes,
mean
I
good
understand.
Graphics, Rich?
It does mean good graphics,
get
Josh. Like they said on the trailer, it's four times as powerful as the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting, but they're going along with AMD. They're going on with top end stuff because they're doing ray tracing. Which is a very, very, very strenuous thing in terms of hardware. So the fact they're going to do some of that is very, very exciting, actually. It's going to look very, very good. Variable refresh rate up to 120 FPS.
That's
which
good,
is
isn't
a
it?
Very big selling
That's
point.
Good.
But I hope people realize that there's a big chance their TV only supports 60. So well done, Microsoft. And also 8K resolution.
Well, it's exciting, but it's very much a future-proofed console, isn't it? Which is good, which is what we want.
Absolutely, yes.
It's the fact that a lot of those features won't be there at launch for a lot of people anyway, especially people like me.
It's still, I mean, I'm quite happy as a PC player when I was watching that trailer to see that they weren't trying to sell you on stupid buzzwords and stupid gimmicks. When they first announced...
said loads of stupid buzzwords
to
me.
This is all actual. I know, but you understand. This is real stuff. Whereas, like, back when they announced the Xbox One X and they were like, we've got pure uncompressed pixels and this many teraflops of stuff. And it's like, what are you talking about? You're just saying big words and make people think, oh, this thing's really powerful. It looks like they're taking themselves a bit more seriously. They're not trying to sell you a gimmick. 8K is still a bit much, in my opinion.
Wait,
4K, they still need to actually nail.
I need to ask, is this a really dumb question, but isn't 4K TVs the thing now? Isn't everybody buying 4K TVs? Do they not go up to 8K?
No.
We now need 8K TVs as
you
well.
You now need 8K TVs. 8K TVs are starting to become more popular, but the thing is, even TV films and stuff, even they're not looking at 8K yet. So the whole 8K stuff, that is the big gimmick they're trying to sell you. 120 hertz of 120 frame rate, 120 FPS, may not have 120 hertz TV. It's like that kind of negates that. It's like playing a 4K game on a 1080p TV. It's limited by what the TV can do.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many TVs out there actually do have 120 hertz refresh rate. So that particular selling point there is like, yes, it's there. And yes, they're not joking, but you're not really going to be able to use it unless you have 120 hertz TV.
He's a counterpoint, and he's why I'm excited and why I'm pleased they're doing it. Because when we got the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, they were underpowered at the time, especially compared to PC. And you knew back then that it wasn't going to last as long as the Xbox 360 generation did. You just knew because this tech was going to be outdated. Whereas if you at least future-proof it, it might mean I don't have to pony up more money for another Xbox One X or PlayStation 5 Pro.
You didn't need to buy a PS4 Pro, did you, Josh?
Well, the marketing psychological attack. Worked on me, I'm afraid.
No, you got
absolutely right. The fact that they're going to future-proof their systems now is a big deal because, as I've said, looking back at the original 8th gen consoles, they were so much underpowered compared to what was actually on the market at the time. So the fact that they're going to go ahead with this, same with the PlayStation 5, they're going with AMD, they're going with Ryzen, they're doing ray tracing, RTX in the PC landscape is the current thing. So the fact they're jumping on that straight away is a big deal. And I'm really happy that console players aren't going to be left in the dark anymore.
Yes.
And left in the past. Even just the SSDs being used in the consoles, like, and you can use SSDs in... in consoles now if you know how to install them. Yeah. But like doing it from the off, that's a great thing for all console gamers.
It sounds very impressive, like to me, which means nothing. But like I'm convinced there's a certain point where there's so many pixels that your eyes can't even take them in. I can only see in 720. Like,
need your eyes tested, mate. But yeah, the Xbox Scarlet is coming in holiday 2020. So I'm gonna take a random guess and say November 2020 because that's normally when the new consoles release. How it's been for the last few generations worth of stuff, which means we should hear something from PlayStation soon.
Yes.
I'm assuming they're going to do the PlayStation Experience in like November time.
Yeah,
like
I think
kind
that
of
might
have
be
to.
Yeah.
If they're allowed to do it. Imagine if they revealed the new console in a State of Play.
Oh,
imagine that.
And
how
here
many
it is.
People would not care about the PlayStation 5? But that's really interesting. Finally, just wrapping up Xbox quickly because we've still got to get through Bethesda.
Oh my God, Rick.
This is a long podcast.
It is a long podcast. The xCloud streaming service is coming. They didn't talk about their partnership with Sony. Interesting. I thought they might have name-dropped them. But the xCloud stuff is coming. It's starting previews in October. And there's that kind of the Stadia thing they're going to try and combat against. But a very interesting thing they said was either you can use the xCloud data centers or you can use your own console and basically have in-home streaming, kind of like how PlayStation have rolled out onto certain iOS and Android devices, so that you can just stream your games to anywhere on your phone, but you can either use your home console for free or you can use the data center, which I'm getting, will be free as well, but I mean, as in you can use your own console, but we're not going to charge you more for that. So that's very exciting to come forward. There's actually a lot of streaming stuff to talk about.
Yeah, if that works properly, I am kind of in. I think remote play is the future. I don't want to really play. We were talking about this morning.
Yeah.
I don't want to play Fable 4 on my phone or on any sort of device on a train or something. But I do think the accessibility of remote play in general is potentially the future. I love the Switch because I can undock it from the telly and just play it on the couch or play it wherever I want and have a great experience. I don't trust that streaming is there quite yet. I don't know if that's the answer. But I think with Microsoft having Google breathing down their necks and now partnering with Sony might be able to get there.
Oh, it just stresses me out. It just stresses me out thinking of streaming something like really far away, like or someone there. What if it cuts out? What if I had this whole thing? Right. Had this whole thing. This isn't anything to do with streaming. It was on a Wi-Fi connection that kept dropping out. I was playing Venture Time Card Wars. Got all these great cards. Got a Sand Angel. Was really excited. Came back to my phone, wiped everything, wiped all my experience because it hadn't saved because the connection was dodgy. What if the connections are dodgy?
What if the connections are dodgy, Rich?
I'm not sold on streaming anyway, but the fact that they're making steps to make sure they've got it is very, very good.
Yeah.
So, okay, very quickly, let's quickly breeze through Bethesda because we are over more than we should have been. Fallout 76 is getting some updates. It's getting a battle royale mode. Way, no one cares. Moving swiftly on. Wastelanders DLC is coming, which means they're adding human NPCs back into the game.
Woo!
A whole new quest
and full
dialogue trees similar to Fallout 3 and New Vegas, not the streamlined version in Fallout 4. That is a very, very good move for Fallout 76.
It is.
I've defended the game as much as it deserves to be defended.
Yeah.
But honestly, this is the point when it's like, it's making me think, I'm going to play this when this DLC comes out. I'm going to give it another go.
That's what I thought as well. And I don't want to think that because I think they've handled it so poorly. I don't think they could just sort of come out and be like, whoa, there's NPCs in there now. Everyone applaud us for it. That kind of should have been there.
It is
launch,
a bit late to the party, but the fact that they're doing it, they were very open in saying, yes, you guys hated this game. Yes, you told us, but we're going to actually sort this out. And yes, they should have done it to begin with, but as I said, I genuinely think the Bethesda team really do give a crap about this game.
Yes.
And the fact that they just haven't gone, oh, okay, never mind, let's just bin it. They're bringing something back into it that I think they're going to get people into it, and it's a free week to play this week.
Yeah,
you can download it and play for free.
That's good. That's nice. I think it's like the Elder Scrolls, isn't it? When they had the Elder Scrolls Online, that was absolutely like trash to begin with, and then they've grown and developed and become a real solid, like
a very passionate fan base. Because very quickly they are doing a new expansion for Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah,
people were very, very, very excited about that.
Yeah.
There's new stuff coming to Elder Scrolls Legends, the card game. There's more stuff coming to Elder Scrolls Blades. That's coming to the Switch as well.
Elder Scrolls 6?
Elder Scrolls 6 is apparently being working on along with Starfield, but we're not hearing any more about it. They did say they weren't going to say anything about it, but moving swiftly on again. Shinji Mikami turned up and showed off Ghostwire Tokyo.
And it was the best. Yes. I am so here for this game. I'm a bit disappointed it wasn't Evil Within 3, but I'm
getting
also
getting a new Shinji Mikami.
Exactly. I'm here for a new IP from Tango Gameworks, and it looked spooky and weird.
I've got no idea what's coming.
And I have no idea what it's about.
Death Stranding.
Yes, it actually is. It even had the people being raised into the sky behind them. So I think it looks cool. I think that studio, even though they don't put out like pitch perfect 10 out of 10s. There is such a creative ambition behind their titles that is so infectious and makes me want to play every single game they create.
Speaking of games you like to play, Arkane, the people behind the Prey reboot, have debuted Deathloop, which is Groundhog Day, the shooting game.
Well, it's funny you should say this as well, Rich, because I love Prey, but I also love Prey Mooncrash, the DLC that released for that game, which was based on a very similar premise where you kept going into this, into the moon base, and every single time you die, you sort of restarted, but then your progress and what you did in the world was kind of carried over. Yeah. So I think that was sort of a prototype for this experience, which is quite cool because that was really good and underrated.
It does look very cool, but like in a narrative sense, I'm intrigued as how it's going to play out in any capacity. But I was surprised that they had something to show because I genuinely thought they were going to show off another Prey DLC. I'm not going to lie.
That's what I thought it was at first. I thought it was so similar to it, and then I was pleased it wasn't because they do great games and I just want them to sell as well as they are.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with Arkane, because obviously they've been helping out on Wolfenstein Cyberpilot and Wolfenstein Youngblood. When the guy came out and said, we've got two new Wolfenstein games to show you, and it's like, these are the two we showed you last year. I was like, oh, cool, thanks. Cyberpilot is some VR stuff for you, Josh.
It is. I'm sorry, but I've never played any of the Bethesda VR stuff. I've never played Doom VFR. I haven't played...
Who are you?
I haven't played this.
I think that's a good thing, because I don't really think they're not really there as proper VR experiences. They're just like, hey, have a chunk of Doom and then just play Fallout and Skyrim in VR. It's like, okay. But Cyberpilot taking control of a big old Nazi mech and killing Nazis, it should be fun.
Yeah, to be fair,
they did make a big deal of like killing Nazis. Killing Nazis. Nazis are bad. Like, yeah, that was very, very prominent. And then Wolfenstein Youngblood, the co-op shooter, is coming out. Both of them are coming out in July, actually. And that looks really fun. I'm intrigued to give it a go.
Yeah.
Nice little half step. I mean,
the wolf boy, eh? The wolf cub. He's hairy as well. That's the joke.
The Old Blood is massively underrated, their little half step thing between Wolfenstein 1 and 2. So I'm looking forward to giving Youngblood a go. Rage 2 is getting some DLC. Need some more stuff in there because the game's hollow as anything. Orion Gaming game streaming developed by id is working at a game engine level to minimize latency, so that will prove that streaming's worth it for you, Ash. If it works better from literally from inside the game itself.
As soon as I do not lose my sand angel.
Basically, when they brought out, they brought a woman on with a controller on a phone. She was playing Doom 2016. It looked very, very good. Whereas when you look back at the Stadia reveal, it looked a bit more choppy.
Yes. Yeah.
It did look pretty, it looked pretty damn good. I'll give him that.
Well, Rich, I remember when the Kinect looked really good, okay? That's all I'm saying. That was
a long time ago.
Oh my God. Throw it into the bin.
Microsoft are still listening to you, Ash. They're still listening.
Oh, God.
Commander Keen is getting a mobile game. That was probably the biggest, like, I don't know, terrible thing they did. It's like, oh, we're bringing back Commander Keen. Cool. It's a mobile game that you know to be rife with microtransactions. And everyone's just like, oh, cool.
I'm here for it. That's high banter by Bethesda, I think.
Banter Thesda.
No.
I'm sorry. Finally, the biggest thing I was looking forward to last night, Doom Eternal has a release date of November 22nd. It looks so much fun. I do have two little caveats with it, though, from the gameplay we saw.
Come on.
This annoys me. This really annoys me. I don't like Doomguy grunting when he gets hurt.
Interesting.
It makes him sound more human. I love the fact he was just this silent protagonist, did nothing. He just killed stuff. So hearing him going,
when he's 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10.
I was like,
terrible.
Oh, sorry, I like that impression a lot.
It just took me out of it. I didn't like the fact he was grunting. I was like, yeah, he takes damage. Yes, of course he will. And yes, he should react to it. But he's the Doom Slayer.
There's going
to
be Doom Guy.
He shouldn't have to be. Oh, God.
That's what's going to happen.
He's already wearing like a tank top of armor, isn't he? He got his arms out. the only other thing was the UI looks nowhere near as nice as it does in the first game. It looks a bit more like, not messy, but it looks more clunky and big and colourful than it really needs to be. That's a very me
criticism. This is why I love you, Rich. It's like, I have two problems with Doom Eternal. The grunts and the UI.
Do you expect anything less, Josh?
No.
And also, they debuted the new battle mode multiplayer, which is two human-controlled demons who can spawn demons in. It's like strategy versus skill, they were calling it, one Doom Slayer. And that looked kind of cool. Yeah. Kind of in the same way that people can join your actual campaign game and spawn as demons as well. Like they showed off last year at, I think it was QuakeCon they showed it.
Doom's multiplayer, very, very underrated. So I hope it's more expansive in the sequel.
But and that's coming out like this. Yeah. And the special edition comes with a helmet.
Again in November, isn't it? Is this November as well?
November 22nd, yes.
Well, I don't have enough room
There's
in
be
my
so
body
much going on.
For these games.
I need to get a new PC by then.
A helmet from Bethesda.
A Doom guy. Oh, yeah. Oh no!
That's gonna be a baseball cap. That's gonna be a baseball cap.
Doomslayer baseball cap
and a plastic carrier bag. But that is everything that we can cover from Xbox and Bethesda at E3 2019. Tonight is going to be Ubisoft. If you were looking forward to our stream, I'm afraid we're not doing one anymore due to various circumstances. But you can still tune in tomorrow for our coverage of the event that had been. We're still doing all of our videos on Ubisoft and stuff like that. And also tomorrow, Rach and I will be doing the Nintendo Direct.
What are you excited for, Rich? What are you excited for?
Mario Kart 9, please. I don't know. mic drop. But yes, thank you everyone for listening or watching. If you are on the What Culture Gaming podcast channel, please do let us know in the comments what you thought about E3, what you thought about Xbox, what you thought about Bethesda. If you want to come and find us on social media, you can follow me at PickupChangeToe.
At Ash Millman.
At Josh Brune with two O's on the
Brune.
Yeah, the Brune
bit. I like
bit.
How I had to specify to you that you've got another O
in. You messed me up ever since you mentioned it.
Could have gone anywhere. But thank you everybody for listening. I hope you enjoy E3. What we've got left, we've still got Square and Ubisoft and Nintendo and
it's all coming.
PC gaming show tonight, which only I care about. But thank you everyone for listening and or watching, and we'll see you very soon.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.